Genesis chapter number 12. And we'll be here this morning just for a little bit and try to be a blessing to you. And maybe it'll be a blessing to you. I hope it will. Amen. But I'm going to preach on this title, When You Get Blindsided. And boy, I think all of us is going through our churches. And it's nothing bad. It ain't nothing bad that we've done. It's just we've been living in blessings for a long time, and God's been really good, and God still is good. But there's a lot of things that are going on that you don't know about, and a lot of things that are in people's lives and getting turned upside down. Think of Miss Hannah. She's up there in the hospital, or down there in the hospital at Shands, and Brother Jack, different people in our church that are going through health issues and different things. And then, of course, we have other issues that I'm not at liberty to speak of. And some of you may know them, and most of you don't, but our church needs prayer. And somebody said, well, there's a lot of stuff going on in y'all's church. There's a lot of stuff going on in every church. And it doesn't matter where you go, there's a lot of stuff going on in every church. We tend to be a little more transparent around here, and I do, and I try to be very transparent when it comes to me. And people respond to that, but a lot of folks are going through difficult times, and we're to bear one another's burdens as a church. And so I want you to do that in prayer and try to help these folks out and as much as we can, all right? Genesis chapter number 12, you there, say amen. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, and then I'm going to jump over to verse number 11, and I'll read down, or verse number 10 rather, and I'll read on down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to get a little bit political on you, all right? Don't get mad at me right here. But you and I, this country, has a responsibility to the nation of Israel, and that is that we be a blessing to them. This Bible, this is an unconditional covenant that God made with Israel. Now, this is unconditional. This means that it does not matter what Abram did. It does not matter what. This is an unconditional covenant that God made. And we're playing with fire on our politicians that we're putting in office that has no respect for Israel. So let me go ahead. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're an independent. If the person that you are supporting does not support Israel, then I would suggest, for the goodness of your country and for the goodness of your children and your grandchildren and the sake of all the people that have come after you, do not put them in office. All right? And I that's as far as I'll go with that. But we need to be very careful how we deal with Israel. And it's a scary time when we turn our back on Israel, because the Bible is very explicit about this. God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. This is the nation of Israel that he's talking about. You young people, you teenagers, you listen to me good, because you're going to go to college and you're going to get some liberal professor, and they're going to fill your mind through it with a bunch of junk. But there's one thing that you can stand on, and that's Bible. And they won't tell you that. They won't tell you that in school. And they take you $40,000, and I'll teach you more than that. I'll teach you more than they'll teach you right here in the church and won't charge you anything. Somebody say amen. We living in a dire time right now, and people ain't even got a clue what they're protesting and everything else and what they're voting for, all right? Now, verse number 10, let's move on. The Bible says, And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Now, this is amazing to me, because this woman is 65 years old at this time. Somebody help me right here. You get them mad if you want to and say, well, I'm 65 and I'm beautiful. This woman, they say, listen to me, the tradition has it that she was the most beautiful woman that ever walked the face of the earth. They say that she was more beautiful than Eve. 65 years old, and Abram 75, and he's worried about his wife going off with a young buck. Hey, I'm just throwing that out there. All right, now verse number 12. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Verse number 14. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife? Now, somebody had to tell him. Somebody had to let him know. I believe God might have whispered in his ear. Let him know that what had happened here. Verse number 19. Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to be wife, or to wife. Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. I was reading this passage of scripture, and I've read it before. I'm familiar with it. We're in a study in Genesis, and we're going to get to this here before long. But in Genesis chapter number 12, looking at this and looking at Abram here, we find the call of Abram. We find that Abram, at this time, he's not yet Abraham. At this time, his name is Abram, and he is called and told by God in the first three verses. I read them for a reason, just to show you his calling. God called him, and God called him particularly. I want you to notice that he was called by God, not anybody else. Somebody help me right here. There's a lot of folks that feel like that they're called to come to church by mama, and they're called to come to church by daddy, or maybe they're called by a husband, or called by a wife, or called by a mother, or called by a father. But the fact of the matter is, the only calling and to salvation is through God. And we're going to get somewhere this morning. Now, it's a particular calling that Abraham had on his life. The Bible says in verse number 1, and the Lord, now the Lord had said unto Abram. And it was a particular calling. Not only that, but it was a personal calling. I want you to notice this about it. It said, he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, let's all get something clear here, that you don't get in because mama's in. You don't get in because daddy's in. You don't get in because grandma prayed some prayers for you. You don't get in because your best friend's cousin goes to the same church. You don't get in just because somebody that you know has been praying for you to get saved for a long time. Let me say this. You don't get in just because you want to either. There's a lot of misconceptions about salvation nowadays. Most time you go to any house and you say, knock on the door and say, hey, I'd like to, do you know if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure you're saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Everybody's saved. Everybody say, matter of fact, they said the latest poll, I think 93% of America is Christians. I don't know where they got their numbers from, but they're wrong. Somebody say amen right there. It don't take you long. You go in your neighborhood and figure that one out. We are here. It was a personal call. You have to come out. It's not one of those things where you don't get in on the buddy system. I need somebody to help me right here. And doesn't matter who you're married to, doesn't matter who you're dating, it doesn't matter how ugly they are, how pretty they are, it doesn't matter what their walk with the Lord is. It's personal. In other words, it's a relationship between you and the Lord. And God called Abram away from his family. Now this is going to play a part. You got to remember, I'm giving you some background right now, and it's going to play a part in the message, but this is some background that we need to understand, because every single one of us, we're fixing to do some preaching, all right? We see he's called particular, he's called personally, but he's called to a place. He's called to a place. God told him in verse number 1, he said, get thee out of thy country, and then at the end it says, unto a land that I will show thee. In other words, you're going somewhere else. I didn't save you to stay where you're at. I didn't save you to stay in the same condition you are. I didn't save you to sit on a pew. I didn't save you not to do anything in the church. I saved you for a place. Abraham, it was a particular calling. It was a personal calling, but it was a calling to a place. And I want to see, as we move on, I want you to know this. It was a calling with a promise. The Bible says this in verse number 2. He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing," he said. "And I will bless thee that bless thee, and or bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That calling came with a promise. Can I say this morning that if you were called today, if you got saved, if you're saved in this building, you had a particular calling. God come into your life at some point in your life, convicted your heart of your need of salvation, and you got saved from your sins. It was a personal calling. You had to do it on your own. We stress that here. You have to walk on your own. I don't come back. I don't pray a prayer over everybody and hope that everybody gets clean. It is your choice, your decision. It is a personal decision that you make with the Lord. But then God saves us and God calls us to a place. And we stress that around here. And ministry, there's all kinds of things that you can get involved in around here. We have Sunday school for every single age that you can get involved in. We have a preacher's college that you can learn how to preach unless you're a woman. Somebody say amen. All right. Is everybody all right? Okay. All right. Now, we got a preacher's college. You can learn how to preach. We got a layman's college where you can come on Tuesday night and for free you can get a 3-year diploma going through your Bible. We have Wednesday night church service. We have Thursday night for the teenagers. We have Friday night. There ain't no telling what goes on. Saturday night, we just trying to recoup from the week, and then Sunday we meet back in here for church. We've been called to a place, and we try to stress that. You need to be doing something in the church, not just sitting on a pew, not just sitting in a chair. God has something for you, whether it be in the choir, whether it be helping a Sunday school teacher, whether it be just showing up. I need somebody to say amen. You don't understand how vital and how important it is just for you to be in your seat. And what a blessing it is to of those that are teaching and those that are preaching. We see, but we also see it's with a promise. And I say this, there's better days ahead. I need some help right here. There's coming a day. Death may be awful, but I'm telling you what, that's the worst thing that can happen to me. I'm going on to glory. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be a great time when I look upon my Savior's face. I get to see the one that died for me. I get to live in eternity riding a Harley. Somebody say amen. We notice this. I want you to, I'm trying to get us somewhere. Because we see Abraham was very specific. We see something about his life in the calling of his life. We see a man that is saved. We see somebody who represents a saved person. I love to go in the Old Testament. I love to preach, but I love to pull out spiritual truths that apply today. Here, Abram, he's called by God. He's called into salvation. He's called out. He's called by God. The Bible says that in Romans chapter number 4, I believe it is, where the Bible talks about Abraham he believed in God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And we find Abram leaving in chapter number 12. We're leaving where he come from, his entire background. He left it. He walked away from Ur. He went where God instructed him to go. I think back on my life, and I think back on your life. If you're saved in this building, when you got saved, you left that old man. You left those old conditions. You all of a sudden, you put your faith and trust in God. Abraham did. Abram left everything, and he went to sojourn in a land or to live in a land that God had promised him. And God told him that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to do all these things. Abram was very excited. He was fired up. And Abram left out doing the will of God. And so many times, boy, we get saved. As soon as we get saved, how many of us know this? The first thing we want to do is get right smack dab in the middle of God's will for our life. Boy, we start coming to church every time the doors are open. Sunday morning church, we ain't never going to Sunday morning church, but we going now. Sunday night church, we ain't never going to Sunday night church. Why do they have to have Sunday night church if they have Sunday morning church? But we going to church now. Wednesday night, we go to church. Tuesday, we get in the Bible college. All kind of things. We start coming to Sunday school. We start getting up early and doing this. Man, we start praying. We start reading our Bible. We get so excited about what God's done in our life because the reality of us getting saved and God wanting something to do with somebody as filthy as we are pushes us in. God's graciousness pushes us into service. Yes. And we get excited. Boy, Abraham, I can think, boys, he piled up everybody, got them all in the Volkswagen, and no, he didn't do that. They all had to walk. But anyhow, as they all got ready and they all took off and left, I imagine Abraham was very excited. Man, God's going to do some great things. God's already promised he's going to make a great nation. God's already said he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And boy, it feels like salvation. We get into salvation, man, we excited. Boy, God's going to do some things with me. God's going to use me to reach 1 million people. God, I'm going to see 1,000. I'm going to preach one day and 1,000 people are going to get saved in one service. And boy, we get all excited. My family's going to get saved. And boy, my kids are going to get saved. My mama's going to get saved. My daddy's going to get saved. Everybody's going to get saved. I'm just going to have a great life. My finances are going to be fixed. My relationship with my wife is going to be fixed. My relationship with my husband is going to be fixed. I'm going to get a job. Is everybody all right? Am I covering everybody right now? We're going through life, and then all of a sudden we get blindsided. Something catches us off guard. Something that just absolutely, you know, if you can prepare for something, you can halfway carry the load, but when it just boom and it's there. Abram, excited as he was, the Bible tells us just a few verses later in verse number 10 that there was a great famine in the land. There was a great famine in the land. You ever wondered about this? God sent Abram to Canaan. He gets to Canaan and there's a great famine. The Bible says, for the famine was grievous in the land, so much to the point that he had to leave there and go down into Egypt. I say about Egypt there in verse number 10, the Bible says that he was going there just to sojourn there. I'm going to touch on this just in a minute, but he was just going there. The word sojourn just means to go for a little bit, not to stay. You know what I'm finding with most Christians? When they get into Egypt, they don't come back. When they get in, the intention is there. The intention is just to sojourn. The intention is just to get back on my feet. The intention is just, I'm going to take another job just so we can get back on our feet. I'm going to do this just so we can manage and get by for a little bit. We're going to stop coming on Sunday night so we can spend some family time together. We're going to stop coming on Wednesday night because we need some family time because our work schedule is so busy. So we're going to cut out. We're just going to go down in Egypt a little bit, but we'll be back. And then they never do. They never do. As I was looking at this passage of scripture and thinking about how it relates to our life, I want you to say, I notice that a lot of us get blindsided. We get blindsided with all kind of things. And if we're not careful, it'll end up getting us completely out of church. I noticed a few things about Abram we'd be doing. I noticed first off the famine of his sojourning. I noticed that it was untimely. It was untimely. The famine of his sojourning was untimely in the manner that God had just called him. We just read in verse 1, 2, and 3 how great the calling was of God. And in verse number 10, all of a sudden, the devil's done the tag. In verse number 10, all of a sudden, we have a famine. Can I say that famines come in many sizes? Now, this one was a famine of food and water, no doubt. It was a famine of physical things. But I'm saying this, we have a famine today in our spiritual lives. Right. And we blame it on churches. I'm not getting fed. You're not getting fed because you don't want to eat. You're not getting fed because you don't want to eat. You're too much. You're too good for getting fed. That's your problem. You need somebody to wow you. You need somebody to just impress you. You need somebody on TV with 10,000 people. It's not going to happen in Lake Park. Just letting everybody know. You're looking for some extraordinary blessing or extraordinary thing that happens. What you need to do is just pick up a fork. Somebody help me right here. Pick up a fork. Pick up a fork. Bible says, Paul talks about this thing. He says, you know, as a baby, we have to be fed. He says, but then we get to a point where we can feed ourselves. And then we get to a point where we can feed others. It blows my mind. Somebody that ought to be feeding others, telling everybody how he ain't getting fed. Telling everybody how she ain't getting fed. Maybe your problem ain't me. Maybe your problem is you. You got a problem with, you, is everybody all right? See, I can't feed you forever. I'll do my part. I'll do my best I can, but I can't feed you forever. There comes a time, just like a little baby, there comes a time where he can handle the bottle on his own. Hardy, this week, man, he'd take the bottle now. Give him the bottle. He'll hold the bottle. He'll go after the bottle. He's getting to a place and ain't going to be long where he's going to be, I ain't wanting to be fed. I can do this on my, just give me the bottle, Mama, and leave. For long. Then she'll start spoon feeding him, and for long he'll be taking a spoon from her. And then, not in my office, by the way. And there'll be food everywhere, but he'll learn how to feed himself. And then there'll come a time where Hardy will be having a youngin' and he'll be feeding that youngin'. My point is that the famine is a spiritual famine that I want to deal with this morning. Quit looking at the physical. We get our minds on the physical and we forget the spiritual. We say, well, we're living in a land of plenty. We are. We're living in a land of plenty. Right now, we are a spoiled nation. But spiritually, we are in a famine. And it comes right down to our churches. It comes right down to the Christians that are sitting on the pews and on the chairs of our churches. They're in a spiritual famine. And because they don't know how to feed themselves, because they don't know how to take care of themselves, they're running off into Egypt and they're getting lost and they're not coming back. It's untimely, this famine. I notice not only it's untimely, but it's unbiased. Can I say this? This famine don't pick and choose who it affects. There's a lot of people in the church. I don't have to worry about ever going through a spiritual famine. You better watch yourself. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I believe that's a devil's greatest weapon is you and I to have confidence in our flesh. Once we have confidence in our flesh, it's easy for him to move in and him to destroy our lives. We need to make sure we keep a humble spirit and understand that at any given moment, you and I can face attack. We see the famine of his sojourning. It was untimely and it was unbiased. We see the flourishing of his sin. I notice this about his sin. Y'all going to have to bear with me just a minute. But God told Abram in the beginning, he said, I want you to get from the country. Get out of the country. Get away from your family. And the Bible says he took Lot with him. Yeah. If you go on and do some reading, you'll find out that not only that, let's see, it said that, verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And we find out later also that his father-in-law went with him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, I want y'all to notice something about Abram because most people miss this. Abram wasn't perfect.
That's right. Amen.
Yet in the Bible, in Hebrews, he was a hero of the faith. But Abram didn't start off doing everything right.
Amen.
This is going to sink in. Probably about time you're eating chicken. But so many of us get so frustrated because we can't live a perfect life when we get saved. We set out and we want to do everything right. We don't want to sin. We don't want to do anything wrong. We're going to be in complete obedience to God. And one of the heroes of the faith, mentioned more in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, mentioned all over the Bible, he started off in disobedience. God called him out and called him away from his family, and he took Lot with him, and he took his father-in-law with him. He went in and I wondered, and I wondered while I was studying, I wonder if God sent the famine to separate Lot and his father-in-law from him. Now, we don't know, so don't tell me. Don't come up here and tell me you don't know. I got just as much of a point of view and an argument that the famine was sent to kill Lot and his father-in-law as you do to say that God was just maneuvering. But what I want you to notice is that that was just a little nugget. But I want you to notice that Abram was already in disobedience. He goes to the land that God tells him to go to, a great famine, a grievous famine comes, and he leaves and goes down into Egypt. Disobedience number three. Two family members, and now we're going down into Egypt. He gets coming into Egypt. As he's walking into Egypt, he looks over at Sarai and says, "You hot. You a good-looking chick for 65 years old. And when them guys see you, they're going to want you. And when they want you, they're going to kill me." Sin number four. Now, I want you to lie. It wasn't a whole lie. It was a half lie. See, is everybody all right? It wasn't a whole lie. It was a half lie. Because she was his half-sister. She just wasn't his whole sister. Is everybody all right? Y'all laugh like I'm playing, but y'all tell a lie, and as long as it is a little white lie, it's all right. It's not the same thing as a big lie. As long as it's a little, it's just a little bit of a lie. Is everybody all right? I just didn't want to hurt nobody's feeling, but you lied. Fellas, y'all know where I'm going with this. Your wife asks you, "Hey, do I look good in this? Does this dress make my butt look fat?" Not at all. I need somebody to help me. Don't act like you ain't never lied to your wife. My point is that the little ones lead to more and more and more. You see in his life, you see undealt with and unconfessed sin, and you see it multiplying and snowballing. Can I say, when you get into Egypt and when you get out of the will of God for your life, we tend to start multiplying our sins. See, what starts off is just a little bit. I'm just going to miss Sunday night. By the way, coming to church is a commandment in the Bible. I'm just going to miss Sunday night, and then before you know it, you're telling lies to the preacher. If I told y'all how many I caught y'all in lies. "Preacher, we couldn't make it. I had to work." And then somebody tagging you in Sunday fun day out on the lake. Got to wonder about somebody lying straight to the preacher. Everybody all right? Gets bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where at some point eventually they say, "How did I ever get to this point? I got to move on. We see the famine of his sojourning, the flourishing of his sin. We see his situation, his fears, deceit. We see the friend of his salvation. I want you to notice that even in the middle of all of this, God was still with Abram. The Bible tells us here in the passage of Scripture that it was Abram. The plagues. It says that the Lord, verse number 17, "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife." We see the friend of his salvation. We notice his timing. I want you to notice his faithfulness, and I want you to notice his performance. I was thinking about this in the passage of Scripture and thinking that God has never failed me. I'm thankful for a Savior that not only gets me in, but participates in my life. Amen. He's always been there for me. Let me say this. Even when I have been disobedient to Him. Hey, Abraham had no right. He did not deserve God's help in this situation. And yet God showed up to where he was at. And God plagued the Pharaoh to the point that he turned loose Sarai, his wife. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let me say this to you this morning. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you've been. God is still a friend. God is not your enemy. No matter what the church tells you, no matter what somebody else tells you, God is not your enemy. And God is still trying to do a work in your life. God is still interested in who you are. God still wants to do something with you. Abram messed up. He messed up from the very beginning. You can go through Abram's life and you can see mess up after mess up, and yet the Bible talks of him being a friend of God. What an awesome testimony. We see the friend of his salvation. Lastly, this is where I want to go and we're done. The fallout of his stay. The fallout of his stay. Pharaoh had to reprove Abram. Abraham should have known better. Abraham had a word from God. Abraham should have done what God told him to do and stayed in the will of God. He had a direct word from God. But Pharaoh had to correct him. Now I want you to think with me right here. When we get off into Egypt and those in Egypt see us there, what testimony? I wonder, could Egypt have been saved if Abram had gone in with a good testimony? But Abram was known as a liar. Abram was known as somebody that was deceitful. But he only lied once. Let me ask you something. When you lie one time, are you a liar? When you do somebody wrong at work, you reckon that's just a free pass? When you lose your testimony in front of somebody, I need some help. Don't get quiet right here. I'm asking a question. We see the fallout. Can I say, don't go down in Egypt. Don't get back in the world. Because the fallout is greater than we're ever prepared to deal with. Do you realize if you go back, all you do is give ammo to everybody that was thinking about going to church? Do you know that when you go back and you stay and you get in the middle of that, those same people that you were praying for at the beginning, that everybody would get saved, they're the same people that won't get saved because of your testimony. Don't go down in there. I got to thinking about this, the fallout. The fallout with others, his testimony with others. What about his testimony with his wife? Here, I'm going to offer you up. Have you ever, I don't know how Sarah must have been a saint. Because I don't think my wife would have agreed to anything like that. My wife would have turned to me and said, well, how about I just kill you right now? You won't have to worry about the Egyptians killing you. Are you serious? Did you just come up with the plan to me call myself? You want me to call me? I'm supposed to call myself your sister so that I can be thrown into his house and be his concubine. That's what he asked her to do. Great husband. Husband of the Year award right there. Somebody say amen. Now how's Abram looking to you? Come on, ladies, I need some help. He said, hey, I don't want to die, so I'm going to feed you to the wolves. But I love you. I wonder how that situation unfolded when they got home from Egypt. Here's your wife back. I don't want her, dude. I'm telling you right now, I don't want, she's mad. I can see it in her face. She's going to kill me.
Yeah.
I wonder if Abraham slept with an eye open. I don't think we got that chapter. I don't think we got that chapter of how they got through this. Because I'm thinking that he probably ended up with some bruises and cuts and black eyes. And somebody say amen. How do you eat food that she cooked after that? He didn't have no children, so he couldn't say, hey, come over here and try this. Make sure your mom ain't killing me. Maybe the servants, I don't know. He ruined his testimony with others, but he ruined his testimony in his family. He ruined his testimony in his family. Those people that we pray for, those people that we want to see saved so bad. But his testimony was gone. Sarah could never trust him again. He offered her up like a piece of meat to somebody else to save his own life. No. Lastly, the fallout. There was a little handmaiden named Hagar. He picked her up on this trip into Egypt. Chapter number 16, we visit her again. In chapter number 16, Sarai and Abram come up with another dumb plan. Sarai gives Hagar to be Abram's wife, and he ends up having a child by Hagar. Sarah gets upset about it, as any woman would, deals harshly with Hagar, ends up having to kick her out of the house, and ends up kicking her out on her own with her baby. This is what all the turmoil in the Middle East stems from. That little handmaiden and Abram. And it all comes from chapter number 12. The fallout of you going into Egypt reaches way farther than you want it to reach. Lasts a lot longer than you ever want it to last. I need some help this morning. Don't leave. Don't run.
Amen.
Don't quit.
Amen.
When you get blindsided, hey, we're going to get blindsided. Abraham got blindsided. We're going to get blindsided. But don't quit.
Right.
Don't run. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Wonder if you'll join me around the altar this morning. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't think it can't happen to me, preacher. It won't happen to me, preacher. If you're not on this altar, come down here and pray for somebody. We've got people in our church, been to our church, going back into Egypt. Gotten saved, gotten baptized, on fire for the Lord. Ended up back in Egypt because they got blindsided. They got blindsided by a health issue. They got blindsided by a financial issue. Got blindsided because of a relationship that went bad. They've been blindsided by jobs that have gone and left. They've been blindsided by family that's turned their back on them. They've been blindsided by people that have walked out of their lives. They've been blindsided by circumstances that's caused them great pain. The more I talk to people, the more I find we blame God so much for all of these things. Most people get upset with God because it's supposed to be all perfect. There ain't nothing in life perfect. We started this thing off, and I talked about the calling of Abram. One thing that you need to understand about Abram was he had God on his side. God had saved him. God had called him. Maybe this morning God's dealing with you. I wonder if you're in this building this morning, if you'd be honest with this preacher and say, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I'm just not sure. If that's you this morning, I want you to look right up at me. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know how to close out the service. Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody like that? Thank you. You can put your head down. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. Not going to embarrass you. I ask you to be honest with me, that's all. Preach, I'm not sure. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us right now, Lord, during the invitation. Lord, as there's a couple that's looked up, one that's raised their hand, God, I pray now, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we come to a time in the service where it's decision time. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to encourage a decision. Lord, I ask you to give liberty. Lord, bless them this morning. Head still bowed and eyes closed. If you looked up at me or you raised your hand, I want you to just listen to me. We got people in this church that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'll not show you what a denomination says. I won't show you what a Baptist say. I'll show you what the Bible says. If you'll allow me to do that, it's your choice. I'm still not going to, as I said earlier with Abram, it was personal. It's your choice. You're going to have to make this aside from husbands, aside from wives, aside from children, aside from sisters and brothers and mamas and grandma. This is your choice. It's your decision. We'll not interfere with that. I'll not embarrass you, I promise. But with everybody's head bowed, I'm asking you, if you'll let me show you, if you'll let me get somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved, I want you to come right here to where I'm at. Just a short walk. For an eternal blessing.
Amen.
Anybody like that? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you for our services. God, I thank you for calling. Thank you for the calling on my life, salvation. I thank you for loving me, Lord, like only you do. Lord, I know that we get blindsided. Our church, people in our church have been blindsided. God, I pray, Lord, that we not get off track. We not get sidetracked. We not get away from you and back into the world. God, help us to protect ourselves, guard ourselves from that. Lord, that our legacy may be that we live for you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all your many blessings. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you for being at church with us this morning. Be careful getting out of here. Sunday school class, thank y'all. Don't forget about tonight and the baby shower for Lauren and Dalton. And